This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
When the economy is like yoga, some Federal Reserve watchers are looking for the word balance today. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. The Federal Reserve is wrapping up its two-day meeting on the economy today. It is the tradition, then, for the Fed chair to issue a statement that might hint about the intensity of interest rate increases to come. Susan Schmidt is Senior Vice President and Portfolio Manager at the Westwood Holdings Group in Dallas.
The word today to look for is balanced. Everyone is wondering whether the Fed is going to come out and talk about a balanced view of risks given the global situation, or if they're going to leave that one word out of it, in which case the implication will be maybe things are a little bit riskier and we're going to be a little bit more cautious.
But this is full of contradictions, right? Because you want the Federal Reserve chair to think the U.S. economy is doing well, perhaps well enough to raise interest rates. But on the other hand, some people are concerned that she might raise interest rates too quickly. So it's hard to know which word to root for.
It's very hard to know. And the market does like to obsess about these things. Remember that we're in the middle of earnings season. We're seeing very positive overall backdrop where companies are coming out and saying things are going along. So you have that positive backdrop. All of that falls to the wayside today as the market waits for the statement to come out. The concern now is it's a balanced view of risk. The Fed might feel more comfortable raising rates. We should feel very positive that the economy is progressing in the right direction. The market is taking the counter to that, saying, you know what, we just don't like it. Low rates are good for business. It makes the markets look better. We want to just stick with the low rates. So don't push us too far.
All right. Susan Schmidt at the Westwood Holdings Group in Dallas. Thank you.
Thank you.
Facebook drops its quarterly profits report today after the markets close. We'll be watching especially for the rate of growth in advertising. But investors also want to know how Facebook can continue to expand its reach, Nova Safo reports.
At the risk of stating the painfully obvious, you have to be online to be on Facebook. And that's not always easy to do in developing countries such as those on the African continent, where the internet can be slow and expensive. Mark Mahaney of RBC Capital Markets says politics, regulation, and infrastructure all pose challenges for Facebook.
Anything they can do to remove friction between consumers around the world and the internet benefits them.
One strategy, improve internet infrastructure.
So they've identified telecommunications equipment as one more target area.
That's Rob Frieden, a telecommunications and law professor at Penn State. Facebook recently joined up with some big telecoms, including Intel and Nokia, to encourage them to create faster, cheaper networks. Mark Mahaney says Facebook is demonstrating its intention to disrupt the telecom industry to drive change.
This is like a demonstration project. Anything they can do to motivate or incentivize.
Will Mahaney says, make it all the easier for Facebook to grow. In Chicago, I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
The Club of Nations, known as the OECD, is adding its voice to the list of groups arguing that there would be a high economic cost if Britain exits the European Union. Angel Gurria, head of the OECD, says Britain leaving would be like a permanent annual tax on everybody, equivalent, he argues, to 3% of GDP going down the drain. Supporters of Brexit, as it's called, call this scaremongering, the British vote on whether to stay or go in June. Word association now. I say oysters, and you think, really? I think Tamales Bay in California or Damariscotta, Maine. The South is also big into oysters, Florida, Louisiana, but now Georgia wants more of this shellfish action. From WABE in Atlanta, Molly Samuel reports.
Oysters grow wild on Georgia's coast, but they're not those big individual ones. The ones here grow in clumps with lots of them stuck together. Great for throwing over a fire at an oyster roast, but not what people expect at a nice restaurant. Just ask Joe Maley, who harvests oysters on the coast south of Savannah.
The locals love them. They know how to deal with them. But you get too far up the road and people say, what's that?
He'd like to see Georgia oysters compete in restaurants with those from other states, which right now they don't.
Yeah, we're getting our lunch eaten, if you will.
So the University of Georgia has opened the state's first oyster hatchery to grow the kinds of oysters that restaurants want. Thomas Bliss is the director of UGA's Shellfish Research Lab. He pulls a big, round tub out of a tank that's full of seawater. When the water drains out of a screen on the bottom, we can see what looks like grains of sand. They're baby oysters.
They're about 1 to 2 millimeters in size right now.
It's really hard to believe that this is even living things that we're looking at.
Yes,
it
is.
So tiny.
They are very tiny. We estimate we have probably about 50 to 100,000 oysters in this one.
In this one, and there's 5 of them here?
Yes. So
there's like 500,000 potentially baby oysters.
Potentially 500,000 baby oysters within this one little area.
They'll let these oysters get a little bigger, then give them to growers for free to put out in the water. Growers like John Pelly. He took me out on his skiff to see his laboratory oysters out in the wild. They're in a big net bag.
They don't look too bad.
But Pelly says not all of them have made it. He's still trying to work out the best conditions to grow the perfect oyster for eating on the half shell. But he's game to keep trying. So maybe, eventually, along with those Hog Island oysters and Kumamoto's, menus will feature Skidaway River oysters from right here in Georgia. I'm Molly Samuel for Marketplace.
Tell you what really doesn't get enough media attention. Missouri oysters. Never hear about Wyoming's either. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.